for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday evening, March the 29th, 2002. Passover weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Carl Fox of Huntington, Tennessee is the minister of the evening. This is one of two.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
For it is my great desire, that I should pour out my love into your heart. For it is my desire to pour out my unqualified, unearned love into your heart. For it's by grace that my love flows into you. It is my desire to pour my grace and my love into your heart to transform you, into my image, to the image of me. So seek me with all your heart and soul. For if you seek me, you will find me. And yea, I shall pour out my love, and it shall transform you. It shall set you free from bondage. It shall set you free from fear, from lust, and from greed. And we shall bring you into the image, the likeness of the Son of God. So seek me with all your heart and soul, saith the Lord.
Words have great power. That was a blessing, okay? Curses and blessings both start with words. Isn't that amazing? And we'll get into that, but I will say something about the book. We never know where the Lord's going to lead us, and you still don't. Don't ever think you do, all right? Even when you're on the move, you don't know where He's going to lead you, because He might have you stop off on the way. You have no idea. But obedience is important, and we're going to get into the details of that tonight. We heard so much today about obedience and the heart of obedience from both of the previous speakers. Just in everything, it was obedience was very much a part of the package, and because God knits together a tapestry, and if we permit Him, He knits that together with us as a part of it, and we become what He brings together. But the way I got into this particular subject was in the early 90s. I went to Uzhgorod, Ukraine. Everybody else was going to Kiev. The airport was there. But we ended up in the city where the communist spies were trained to come to America. And we went under the guise of teaching English. Can you imagine a guy like me, the way I butcher the language, teaching English? But that's what we were doing. God's good. And our textbook was the Bible. We had one Russian Christian language expert. You didn't have to worry about the Ukrainian language in those days because nobody spoke it hardly. It was had been illegal till the walls came down. The Ukraine was brought into captivity in 1922, and I could talk about the things that happened there all night, I guess. But what the biggest thing that happened is I'm a firm believer that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Okay, I don't believe anything else. I don't consider anything else. If there's a job that needs to be done and that nobody's doing it, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I may not be the best, but I'm willing. Okay? And willingness is better than perfection, because people can spend their whole life and die perfecting themselves. And we know people like that, all of us. But anyway, I did something that I was asked to do. What was going on was very intellectual. Because the people that came to university to get, and they were getting, from a American university, they were getting credentials on their certificates. So there's a lot of PhD people there, doctors, lawyers, and it was neat. There was probably everybody of the original 300 received the Lord. But I was told, and I kind of get crazy about healing, you know, and because I've had so much. But and they were told, well, you're going to offend them. You can't do that. But the Lord's telling me, these, you know. So I said, okay, we'll do it back in the corner. So that was okay. And you don't have to advertise what God wants done. He'll get it done. So that's how I got into this subject, was a man was brought to me, and I'd never seen a more pathetic man in my life. And I didn't know really anything about curses. But I did know that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because I read that in this, it's right, the Book of Promise, the truth, the textbook. So I broke the curses off him, not knowing, except just the Spirit of God was speaking through me. Or I was speaking what the Spirit of God was putting in me, whatever way you want to put it. And the man left. And what had happened to him is over there in 1922, I guess that's why I brought that up. In 1922, the name of Jesus became illegal. Absolutely. It was against the law. You used it, you died. And they did it. They killed them all off. They literally took the name of Jesus out of the land of the Ukraine. And especially that part, because that was the area where they were teaching people how to be better Americans than we are. And there's still a lot of them there sitting there. Maybe some of you were trained there, I don't know. If you did, you got a different spirit. But they were trained and smuggled into America, just waiting for the day. Just like we're facing a different thing than that now. But the people that were doing our translation work, because we had to have everything in triplicate, you know, for the university and you know, word by word. And so we hired a bunch of people that were spy trainers. Did they have the Spirit of God? Not when we started, but they were English and Russian experts. And as they worked on it, and we had one person that was an expert that was being worked very hard to make sure it was correct. And there's a lot of hectic things that went on. But the amazing thing about it was that you could just see, you know, you don't have to give an invitation to somebody for them to receive the Lord Jesus, you know. But we should be given that invitation. But anyway, you could see all of a sudden as people were, because guess what part of the subject matter was salvation, you know. Basically, that was the whole part of the first week or something. But these people started getting born again, and there's things happening. They had no idea what was going on, because it was new to them. But it was an exciting time. But when I took those curses off and blessed this man in the name of Jesus Christ, his people always seek spiritual power. I don't have time to get into that. You've probably been taught that here, I'm sure. But they always seek that. Man is made spiritually hungry. Okay? And the tragedy is so too many people find the wrong spirits. But anyway, so this man had been cursed. When you get mad at somebody over there back in those days, probably to a great degree today, you just go down to a witch and you purchase curses. By the way, I know Greek Orthodox priests that are for hire. Okay? I know. I've seen how they sold Christians out in Eastern Europe and Russia. I've had to minister to people that have been abused. The tragedy of all that. I'm not saying every Greek Orthodox is bad, because that's not true. But there's people that were infiltrated in there that didn't know Christ from a turnip. And they all knew turnips because they ate on their diet. But it was an amazing thing, because this man, when he got cursed, and he knew it, so he went to a clairvoyant and purchased curses back on the cursor. Okay, so it's pretty common in some communities in America, too. Anyway, well, all hell broke loose. We can use that word here. Devil don't like it, but it's not a threat to us. But this man, his business failed. His mother-in-law, I believe it was his mother-in-law, you know, they pack him in a little house, you know, or hut, whatever. But anyway, grandmas from both sides, you know, the in-laws were both there. One had gotten a virus and was dying from it, dehydrating. The other one had had a stroke and 6 months had been in the bed. And here his work had failed, and now the roof caved in. And it happened that day, and they brought this man to me. Well, All I knew is I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, had I ever removed curses? To my knowledge, not actively. But I did it and didn't think that much about it. We were pretty busy. The next night, I'm up on the, you know, you had to be on the stage away from the people, too. But anyway, and this guy, every time I looked over at him, he'd go like this. That's the first smile I'd seen in Uzhgorod, Ukraine. I mean, they considered smiling a waste. Why do you Americans tell jokes? Why waste your intellect laughing? And I said, really? But it was a desperate place because they had done everything they could to remove Christ out of it. And also, they were doing everything they could to crush a country that represented Christianity. Okay? It was very spiritually dark. And here's this man, every time I look over there, I go, you know, did he get holes from that potato vodka I've heard about? Yeah. Anyway, so I just had a short time up there because I'm not a very good intellect. And anyway, so during the intermission time, this lady that was a lady evangelist, and that's a hard job over there because women don't have a ministry, you know. This woman was a real evangelist. And she was the one bringing all these people that needed prayer. And because she'd been promising people that Jesus heals. So anyway, here she comes bringing this guy over. And she says, this is the man, blah, 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 you know. And then someone interpreted it because I needed that. And I find out, well, when he got home that night, his mother-in-law, who had had this virus, was up making cabbage soup, okay? She was out of her deathbed making her own food, okay? And the next morning, they didn't get to bed very early. I mean, there was rejoicing in that house. And anyway, the next morning, when he got up out of bed, and of course, everybody slept in the same room. The kitchen's there. Everything is there. And here's his mother teetering on the edge of the bed, getting her balance back. She's not paralyzed anymore. Okay? And also, well, he didn't bother to go to work that day, and he had faithfully went to work, even though nobody would do business with him because he's cursed. If they went and done business with him, he would be cursed. But this man says, so he's talking through the translator, the interpreter. He said, you know, he's talking about, you know, it's like 3 p.m. when he got to work. And the people were lined up for over a block waiting to do business with him. Now, I don't know what happened with the roof because I wasn't there long enough, but I guarantee it got fixed. You know what I mean? Because I've never seen God do a half a job on anything. He always does a whole job. We can cut it in half and destroy his work. But God finishes what he starts. He's a finisher, all right? He's not a quitter. But anyway, what happened to me was all of a sudden I was in trouble everywhere I went. The KBG, yes, they were still there, were on my tail all the time. And I was still having pain from my having broken my neck. So I had to walk a lot. And so I'd walk for miles during the day when I had time. Everywhere I went was this tall, blonde-haired KBG guy. And I knew it because God had told me, see? And then one of the interpreters warned me. And so anyway, I didn't want to have fear. You have fear, you're in trouble, right? And I may have been, you know, entertaining fear to a point, but I didn't want to show it for sure. So I'd watch spy movies, you know. So what I did is I just walked a little faster, and they have these narrow little streets in the old part of the Uzhgorod. So I just stepped off like that. And I waited, I just counted, and I waited till I figured he was there. I stepped out right in his face. And I was, you know, the rascal in me, I'm grinning from ear to ear, you know. And, you know, they do this thing over there. They do like this. They see you, but they act like you don't exist. And that's what he did. He just pretended like I wasn't there, like that was going to do something, you know. And so I told him, I said, God bless you. My name is Carl Fox. I give him my address. And I said, I'm a son of God. And I said, and I know you know what I'm saying, because KBG wouldn't be stupid enough to have somebody didn't know English following somebody who speaks English. And anyway, I said, as long as you're going to follow me around, can we walk together? And he just looked past me. So I went ahead and I walked. Well, I'm walking, And if you can imagine, there was a little Catholic church up on this hill, and they said I could come and speak. And so anyway, and I hadn't got clear from the Lord what I was supposed to do, so I thought, well, I'll go to the church so the Lord could speak to me there. And the church is on a hill. Well, what does a tourist do when he gets on the hill? He looks around, right? You know, tourist, right? Takes pictures, buys knickknacks. But there was no knickknacks to buy. But so anyway, that gave me an excuse to see if the guy's still following me, you know? And so I'm looking around, you know, and there he is. So I see him and I point like that and I wave at him, you know. So I just, anyway, the man actually ended up getting born again. I don't have time to tell the whole story, okay? But it was like 2 weeks later he came to the Lord one night in a city right on the Hungarian border by the name of Chop. And that night, 78 children accepted Jesus. You know, and I, right now my hair's, but what happened to me was not only was I in trouble with KBG, I got in between the Hungarian, the Ukrainian and Hungarian border. The Ukrainians were glad to get rid of me, and the Hungarians wouldn't let me back in. And I had, you know, this compassion thing us Christians get. I'd given away all the clothes except basically the ones on my back, and winter had come in, and I was freezing. And they're ordering me around. Well, I have a PhD in stupid. I've always knew how to be stupid, you know. And so I was just being stupid, and I kept working myself over because there's a little ray of sunshine coming in, and I wanted to try to stand there. And they tried to intimidate me. And they got the clips on those guns when they're trying to intimidate you about this long, you know. Barrel's big even, if you pay attention to it. Secret is pay attention to Jesus. So they ordered me to get back over, and they knew they were making me stand on wet ground where it's cold. And anyway, it's probably 3 hours getting over. But everything was going wrong, and I won't tell you, but I mean, it was all of them but it was amazing. And I get home, and I had a construction business, and the business was dead. There was a bunch of people going to help me go on this trip, and everyone was backed out. So I had a lot of bills. Now, that's not surprising. Jesus still is on the throne. So anyway, but I could not figure it out. I mean, I would call people that loved me before. They begged us to do business, you know, to come in, and they didn't even want to talk to us. And I'm not figuring this out, except I remember going out in the mesa. We were living in New Mexico then, and hollering out to God and saying, this is really a fine thing. You know, everything's turning bad. What is going on? At least I deserve to know what's going on. You know what he did? He didn't answer me. You know, I had a bad attitude, I suspect. but anyway, so we started praying and fasting, and I got one word, curse. My assistant pastor, I don't know which one of us was going to the phone or where it rang, who dialed, but we're on the phone at the same time. And he says, was you messing around with witches in Russia? I said, no, I wasn't, and I went to Ukraine, not Russia. But God had given me one word, curse. It came together in just a minute. So we went out. We had this spot on the sand dunes that there's so many miracles happened out there. That was our place to go out, and I miss that place today. But we prayed and just praised God, you know. And when we got home, the phone was ringing off the walls. Everything turned. So then the people of church, I shared it, and they said, well, you need to teach this. Well, I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know about guys like Derek Prince having written a book, or you got a few people out there. Had no idea, see? You know, I'm so thick-headed, it seems like I always learn it the hard way. So I started studying this. There's so much in the Bible about curses, I was confounded. I mean, it's so vast of a subject. And, of course, you have to look at the opposite, the blessing. And it's like, well, where do I go with this? So finally, when I get in those kind of spots, I put myself on the spot. So we announced on such and such a day, on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, this is going to be taught. Well, you know, all these people are coming and showing up. They went, you know, are you going to do it? And what's it about? And I couldn't tell them. But I started studying and come together. I remember we finished up a remodeling job on Friday afternoon. Well, probably it was noon. there's a little mountain, and I said, let's go out there and pray. We went out there, and it was, you know, here would be a big mountain, but out in the Rockies, it was a little mountain. But we're standing on this, and we're praising God, and I let God know, you know, I'm a little uneasy about tomorrow. And I says, if there's anything I missed, you're just going to have to tell me, because I am so tired. And this guy says, when you take out a curse, put in a blessing. And I says, I turned around. There's about a 2,000-foot drop behind me. And my partner turned around, he looked, and, you know, we both heard the voice, but there was nobody there. So we knew, he made sure we knew it was the big guy, okay? And so I says, you got to give me a scripture. Because I said, I'm going to get home, I'm going to rest. You know, I need rest. And so I get home, the phone rings, and a friend of mine calls and says, you've been working this curse stuff, what do you think of this scripture? And it was the one about turning curses to blessings. And so anyway, we taught this. The things that happened were so profound. I had seen healing for years. I mean, that was, you know, God has blessed me with seeing so many people healed and that, but now all of a sudden, it's like falling off a log, the things that's happening. And so, anyway, you know, next thing I know, I probably taught this subject, probably over 200 times, huh? Just all over. But it's a real awesome thing because it sets people free. It's made me some wonderful enemies that used to be friends, or I thought they were, because this is one of those sacred cows. Christians cannot be cursed. No kidding. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? That's what it says, right? I mean, the Lord himself, because it's his word, Paul got that from the Lord, and it's calling him a fool. It's saying, you're foolish. And in Galatians chapter 3, before I go on, I just want to tell you there's only two ways you can live, by faith or the law. Right? All right? Right? Most of you know the Bible better than me. But I know this, that there's only two places you can live, under the faith or the law. And the Bible says when you live under the law, you got to do all of it or you're cursed. Whew. You know, but yet, I've sat and tried to reason with PhD boys, you know, and show them, but just a minute, this is what it says. It's amazing what blinders will do. My father, when I was a kid, still used a team of horses for a lot of things. And this one, old Barney, was a bit feisty until he put the blinders on him. And then Barney done what the harness told him to do. See, and that's what religion does to us, is it blinds us. We're called to be a godly people, a holy people, a righteous people, an obedient people. All right? Not a religious people. You know, atheism is a religion. Fact is, religion is always when God is left out or when God is brought down to the level of man. And the poor, foolish Galatians or Arkansas people or the Tennessee people or whatever, when we do that, we didn't move God down to our level. We just got blinded. All right? See, if you're going to be blessed, folks, you got to obey. And there is no other way to be blessed. You can't buy a blessing. You know, you can bathe in holy water. If you don't use soap, you'll probably still stink. Okay? You got to use soap, you know? You got to clean up. Man, we've had such a cleaning up around here. And we're going to keep cleaning up. Every day of our lives, we need to keep cleaning up. You know, that's such a blessing. The curse will say, that's foolishness. I want you to know that the name of Jesus is so powerful. I've had guns pulled on me. I've had knives pulled on me. We got stopped. Those same people, my job was to teach them how to pray. That was one of the things that I was doing. So we had this little 7-people van, and there was 11 of us packed in there. You know, and when I used to play craps, you know, I was a gambler, 7 come 11, but I was laughing about it just before we got pulled over because I thought this is really, you know, this is the way it really should be, packing them in. And we got pulled over by the Ukrainian army. The Ukrainian army functioned like the Roman army did. For the their pay was what they ransacked, pillaged, and embezzled, okay? Steal, kill, and destroy. Whose ministry is that? The devil's, right? Satan. Split hoof. See? So, they pulled us over. We were illegal because we had too many people in there. You know, like there's nobody on the road, you know? But, anyway, so when they step out in Eastern Europe today yet, when they step out and they got that baton and it's white, it's got a red stripe around it, pull over. Okay, just pull over. And our driver, he was Ukrainian. We had to have a Ukrainian driver. So we pulled over. And the fear in that little van, fear stinks, folks. It has an awful odor. And it was bad. And I just prayed out loud the words the Lord gave me. It wasn't one of them flesh soul prayers. It was a Holy Ghost prayer. And I prayed out loud. And exactly, folks, what I prayed is exactly what happened. Within a couple of minutes, we're charging down the highway again. 11 people in a 7-person van. And these soldiers are walking around scratching their head. They didn't know why they let us loose. But see, the name of Jesus is more powerful than a bunch of hungry soldiers with guns. You know? And I told the staff, I says, now you know about prayer. And that's what they said. That's better than you could have talked for a month. You know? And see, so a blessing is in your life if you if you will take whatever's in your face and turn it to the will of God. You have that authority, all right? Because you've got Christ in you. You have the authority. We have, when the enemy tries to do something, you have an authority over it. And it won't happen if you don't believe it. And if you try to work it out in your head ahead of time, the devil's going to change it a bit. You walk with the Lord and you get it. That's what a blessing is. But one of the things the Lord told me, I was going to Maine, and then I'll get to my book open, but I was going to Maine. And I'm going to be teaching a class up there at the University of Southern Maine in Portland. That's when I met, and I didn't meet you there then yet. But anyway, I was being told that I need to write a book, and, you know, I was fighting that. And because I said, we got tapes, you know. And but the Lord told me that He needs some people that are not messing around with their prayer to go and be where America gets its first sunshine. He told us today. And I said, I looked at a map. Well, it's got to be in Maine. Isn't that amazing? I'm going to Maine. So one of the host pastors, I asked, I said, do you know where that be? He said, I know where it is, but I've never been there. And it was called, I think, Cadillac Mountain or something. But so we, from Portland, drove up, you know, most of the night to get there. And we were up there. This picture was snapped at sunrise when we said amen. Okay? Isn't that amazing? We said amen. And I heard, and I have a habit of praying with my eyes open. I'd love to see the works of God happen. And all these, the mountainside is filled up with people. And usually those kind of places have tree huggers. You know what they are? Okay, they're worshiping the nature, the creation. And I said to God, I said, one of them clowns starts to mess around with their prayer, I'm throwing them over the side. I said, this is a holy time and this is a holy place. And that's where I stand, Father. In the name of Jesus, that's just where I'm standing. So just we prayed as we were moved and everything. But when we said amen, you know what happened? The whole hillside was amens. Isn't that awesome? And then afterwards, then some guy comes up, some tree hugger. Didn't matter, we'd already done what we were called to do. But anyway, that's how we got the cover of this. And a wonderful sister that does beautiful art. It's just powerful and it's inspired. But anyway, she painted a painting. So actually, it's a picture of the painting is how the cover on the book. But God gave us the name of it. It's called Turning Curses to Blessings. The Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise you. We thank you. We know, God, that we can't do anything without you. But we know that through you and through your precious Son, we can do all things that we're called to do. I thank you, Father, that you just helped me to minister what needs to be ministered, Father. Open our ears, help us with our understanding, Father, that we can receive what you have for us in Jesus' name. Amen. So anyway, I pretty well shared how I got into this subject and what a curse is, but a curse and a blessing. But a curse means is for destruction, okay? Have you ever heard anybody say, well, I'll be damned? Huh? After I learned about this, I hear somebody say that. I don't care if I'm on a train, a plane, or what. I hear somebody say, no, be blessed, be blessed. Because when you say that, that's a self-imposed curse. And I got news for you, baby. You get self-imposed curses on you, they don't shake off easy. Ooh, there's another one. I loved it. I just loved her to death. You know, and I don't want you to get religious and full of fear either. Just smarten up, okay? All right? Just keep working on it. And lovingly implore and encourage one another to clean it up. But literally, you know, and people say, well, only God can curse and only God can bless. And then you look, yeah, that's what I do sometimes. I roll my eyes like my brother. Oh, yeah, well, sure. That's that. You know what that is? You know what that is? Those are doctrines of devils. Okay? Because it's a doctrine that Christians can't get possessed. Okay? You know, I got run out of a church one time. Well, real sociable about it, but I said something that just, it was terrible. I said, there's only one man that ever walked on this earth that didn't get possessed. And that was Jesus. Whoa, it was the wrong place to say that. But I believe it's the truth. A lot of possessed people didn't like me all of a sudden. You know? Possessed, oppressed, call it what you want. But if we let Satan get into our life, we've got problems, folks. And I do not believe, from everything the Lord has showed me and what I've experienced with the Lord in this subject, and I've studied it a lot, the only expert I know about is Jesus, but I do not believe that a curse is a devil spirit. I don't. And I really don't. But what I believe a curse is the door. Okay? I really believe that the curse is the door that gives that devil the legal authority, because he's got the key. You can lock that door, but until you deal with the legal authority, he can get in. That's what I believe. If I offend you, love me anyway, okay? But I really believe that, and I got to teach what I believe. Like I said, a believer, somebody believes what they believe, right? It's my definition of a believer. And somebody's not sure about what they believe is a double-minded man that's unstable in all his ways. All right? If you really believe and you're wrong, and you're really loving the Lord, he's going to whip you back in shape very quickly. But if you're double-minded about it, you can spend the rest of your life hewing out cisterns. And that's not a blessing, my dear brothers and sisters. That's curses. Let's go to Genesis chapter 22 and verse 15. There's so much in here, this part of Genesis, but we're just going to be hitting and running through. But I encourage you. I apologize. I should have brought some tapes. I have the class taped. It's different every time. But this is one where complete. If anyone wants the tapes, we can send them over here. But I'm going to hit the things that the Lord wants me to. But anyway, the angel of the Lord called upon Abraham out of heaven the second time. We don't have time to get into the first time. But read if you need to and want to. But in verse 16, and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing that the only thing God has to swear by is by himself? Isn't that amazing? There's nothing. There's nothing at all greater, is there? There's nothing that's before him. You know? Isn't it an amazing thing? You know what? I'll bet you it's not an easy job to be God. I'll bet you God, in order for God to be God, he's got to be God. You know, as corny as that might sound, who else could do it? Everybody else that's tried has failed. Satan had like number two position. And he said, I'm going to do it. Woof. But he swore by himself. He says, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of the enemy. Folks, this is a powerful blessing. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Obedience, 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 okay? I don't feel like it. Obey. God, I don't feel like it. Do it anyway. I don't feel like it, Father. Help my heart change. See? Because he can do that. I do a lot of things I don't feel like doing. Does anybody else ever do things you don't feel like doing?
Of course.
You did feel like chasing around there yesterday with all that stuff. He probably didn't feel like sitting here last night with aching bones, but he was here, see?
I had half a dozen of you prayed for me, and it sure helped.
Yeah, prayer's powerful. But you know, it was very important that Abraham obeyed, because Abraham was a type of God, and Isaac was a type of Jesus. And I believe, and I'm going to talk to you about this, Doc, but, you know, and I stand corrected. If I'm wrong, why don't you stand right up and tell me, okay? Because I know you've worked in this area. But I believe, because you weren't fully a man in the Jewish culture until you were 30 years old, right? I really believe that his only son was not a little boy. I believe he was a 30-year-old man. And I believe that he was so obedient, huh?
He carried the wood on his back.
That's right. And you know what he could have done? He could have said, hey, you old buzzard, I got my whole life ahead of you. Let's sacrifice you. You know why he didn't even consider that? Because his father taught his son how to obey, even unto death. Isn't that awesome? I mean, if that doesn't give you a little twitch, then we need to do some raising the dead here.
Abraham could never have tied him up if he hadn't let him do it.
That's exactly. It's the same way God showed me about Jesus. That day on Calvary, he didn't fight like the other guys did. He said, do you want me to lay it this way? He cooperated. Isn't that amazing? You know, and he didn't get the prettiest cross. He had the one that was covered with the most maggots, worms, and rotten blood. It was not varnished and polished. All right? They did everything they could to make his death despicable. All right? And he obeyed. He obeyed. There's never been anybody that's been on the face of this earth more blessed than the Lord Jesus, brother. So when you think you got it tough, and the enemy's trying to beat you up and lie to you, you just tell him that, okay? And you can tell him, and he's my brother. All right? That's powerful, isn't that?
Amen, bro.
I got a big brother. You're going to mess with me, he's going to kick your pants. You don't have to be pushed around. Come on, being a Christian is not being pushed around.
No.
Having done all, stand. Right?
Right.
Done all what? All what the Word says. Obeying. Walking in that love. But we, as we obey, and walking in faith is obeying, folks, as we have all the blessings of Abraham plus what Jesus accomplished. But Genesis 27, and he came near and he kissed him. And of course, this is the two brothers, but I just want to show you a curse in the making that still affects the world today. And he kissed him, and he smelled him. He smelled his raiment, and he blessed him. And he said, see, the smell of my son is the smell of the field, which the Lord hath blessed me. This is the story of a father and two sons. And one was mama's boy, and the other one was daddy's boy. And I want to tell you, those of you that are parents, that this is, because I got to say, I don't have time to really teach it, but if you don't understand it, I will teach it. But if you favor your children, you're cursing them. If you've got a favorite, don't you ever. You get on your knees and you get forgiveness. Okay? It made me to be a strong man to be the not favored. But it wasn't an easy road. And I had to learn to forgive. All right? And my brother that was the favored one, his life is so miserable. You know, and I try to minister to him. Don't ever. Same way you ministers. Don't you ever favor. You know, fact is, as you receive your tithes and your offerings and stuff, if you can get somebody else to take care of that so you don't have to worry about prejudice and
the
heavy givers, all right? Prejudice, my dear friends, my dear family, will bring more curses, not only upon you, but on the people you prejudice, all right? And this is what this father done. He had his favorite hairy son that was the hunter. Mama had... Hey, the hairy son was a creep for the most part. But he was the eldest son, and Daddy had this favored thing. And Mama did manipulation. There was deception. There's all these different curses in this situation. And fact is, in the process, we're going to have to dip back and through this. But anyway, Dad was deceived because the boy that wasn't Harry had goat skin on him to make him Harry. Daddy couldn't see good. And it wasn't venison soup like Dad had asked for. It was sheep soup. Isn't that amazing? Therefore, God give thee... This is the blessing that the father was to speak at the on the eldest son. And he said, I believe the son that got it was the most deserving. I mean, he was the one that served God, but God will get his way without us having to cut corners and treat, right? Okay? And anyway, it says, therefore, God give thee the dew of the heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, the nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curses thee, and blessed be everybody that blesses thee. Isaac trembled very exceedingly. This is down in verse 33. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but when he found out, he blessed the wrong. But Isaac trembled very exceedingly, and he said, Where is he that has taken venison and brought it to me? And I have eaten it all that came and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. Folks, the blessing is real. It is real, all right? And don't ever take a blessing back, because you can't, right? But don't hold back on blessings. But don't go cursing or blessing some infidel either. But, I like to say, God bless you. I've probably said it to every one of you I've talked to, because it's a privilege to be able to say, God bless you. And generally, I nail it down hard within the name of Jesus Christ. Right? But it's a real thing. And it isn't just speaking words. We have the power and the privilege and the responsibility to bless one another. But the Father, really got himself in the pickle because he had been deceived. And Isaac answered, and he said unto Esau, Behold, I have made him Lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now for thee, my son? A blessing holds nothing back. Don't you say, bless you, brother, and not mean it. It's sin. I believe it. I really believe it. If I say, bless you, sir, I mean it. God bless you, sir. And I mean it. Thank you. And you know what? If you don't throw it aside, you'll have it in eternity. A blessing doesn't die. There's power in it. That's why James said, don't let a blessing and a curse come out of your mouth. And then I hear people cursing people because they're evil. No! Let's bless them, okay? The Bible says, bless those that curse you, right? Bless and curse not. What part of that do we not understand? Esau said unto his father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? See, old Esau, he's always trying to find the easier way. He sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. Hope it was good soup. But he says, Bless me. Even me also, my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac, his father, answered and said unto him, Behold, this is but good as it can get for him. He said, Thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth, and of the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke off from thy neck. That's the best the father could. Why would he speak something like that? I believe the Lord was involved in this thing, and I believe that he was prophesying what was going to come down. I believe it was a prophecy. You know why it happened? It happened, see? And it's still happening. I wonder what would have happened had there been some repentance there. I've always wondered what would have happened had Judas Iscariot repented. God's will would have been done, but I wonder how it would have been. You know what I mean? But see, those are just those things you don't have to spend a lot of time on. We can talk to the, someday down the road. But right now we have a job to do. But I wonder those things sometimes because I know I heard such wonderful sharings today about forgiveness. And you'll never hear enough about it. We need it. We need to do it. But just to keep us from, or just one more thing on this. Esau, you know what Esau had done? He hated Jacob. Now let me ask you, do any of you hate? Don't answer me real quick, okay? Don't answer me real quick. I checked in 1 John where it says, how can you say that you love a God that you cannot see when you hate your brother who you don't see? So I said, just a minute now. So I decided I better check up and see what that word hate actually means. You know what it means? One of the meanings is literally to be indifferent. Just being indifferent. Now that ought to speak something. I mean, when I learned that, it stopped me in my tracks because that's how I dealt with religious Christians. That's how I dealt with people that persecuted me. I just indifferent. I said, oh, well, I just moved. But the Bible says we're supposed to bless them. You're supposed to pray for those who despitefully use you, right? Now, you probably are all doing that. Okay? Just keep doing it. But you know, we do not have to fear the curse. Even though we're going to spend some time on it, we'll spend some good time on blessings too, but I want you to know that, you know, and somebody to already, there's so much of what I teach was between the two of you, I could have took the night off. But, and thank you. Because you talk about paving the way for something. But it's in Proverbs 26:2, and I believe it was you, sister, that shared that. But it says, as a bird by wandering and as a swallow by flying, so shall the curse causeless not come. It's available for us to be curse-proof. But you know what? We all slip sometimes and then get in. All right? So we should walk with wisdom. But it's for Christians, to be constantly cursed. You know, they need to do a checkup from the neck up. And when they get done with that, then they need to go down to the heart. All right? But it says, getting back in Genesis chapter 12, it says, the Lord had said unto Abram, and this is going back before where I opened, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto all the land that I will show you. And here's the blessing. And if he obeys, this is the blessing. I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Folks, when someone does you wrong, you can stand on Genesis 12:3. Abraham is your father of faith. All right? And the Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. See, you can forgive him. God's vengeance isn't always bad. It's justice. And someone shared this today, too. Because both of you hit it pretty good. But the thing about it is that if we forgive people, you know, and if we do our part, God can work for those, changing those people's lives. And if we forgive them, you know, we could claim Genesis 12:3, and not just in vengeance. Also, when someone blesses you, you could claim that, see? Because, brother, you blessed me. Bless you. Thank you. Amen?
Amen?
See? You know what? And that, we can have play around with that in eternity because I'm not going to let go loose of the one you gave me. I mean, blessings are really there. You want to fill your vault full of something, fill it full of blessings. All right? You know? And if you're a blessing, you'll get blessed. But then Abraham, what he done is he said, well, okay, God, but you know, I got it made and I need a new jet airplane. I want to know where I'm going. And I need to have off 3 days a week. No. That would be doctrine of the devils, wouldn't it? You know what Abraham done? He wasn't Abraham let. Yeah, he's Abram. And Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him. That, I suspect, was a mistake, taking Lot with him. That's another story. But Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. But isn't it amazing? He just obeyed. He left what we in America hang on to so many times, he left his comfort zone. One of the big curses that's on the United States of America is called comfort zone. That's why this place isn't full, because of comfort zone. Why should I come here when there's devils being kicked out? And I don't even believe it. You know, they're a bunch of heathens, because after all, if they have devils, they can't even be Christian. You know, and hey, I mean, these are doctrines we hear all the time, right? This is what's keeping people away from here. You know why? Because the truth is spoken here. And a bunch of people here have the audacity to love the unlovable. I'd rather go to a church where the carpet's red and the pews are red, they're well padded, and I can feel good. And I can hide. That's not a blessing. That's not a blessing on the body of Christ. It's a curse! Excuse me for hollering, but it makes me mad. It's not the kind of mad that's sinful. You know, God is looking for faithful people. He don't care if one leg's shorter than the other, if your head's twisting halfway off. He will, not only that, he'll make it younger again. All right? All he's asking for is obedience. You know how I define my ministry? I'm the foolish of the world sent to confound the wise. And I'm not ashamed of it. God told me years ago, several people prophesied, strangers come up, and they said, you're going to minister to kings and heads of state. Well, the first time I went to Romania, the Secretary of State, he jumped out of his deathbed. And I ministered in English, and there was no interpreter there. But them devils that had this man bound knew the name of Jesus. Yeah, they sure did. And then the interpreter showed up, see? Well, then another time I was there, and I was taken to this man's place, and it was in Cebu, which is one of the prettiest cities there. It's very German. And very clean. And my driver, and he's a man that ordained over there. This is the guy that I taught on how to raise the dead. That's another story, but he does it, okay? But you teach him, he does it, see? To me, he's one of the most dynamic ministers on the face of this earth, because you teach him what the Word says, and he does it. And he's rude, and he's crude, and he drives like a wild man. You know, I mean, he's taught me, you know, he says, my job is to get people to pray. Ha, 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 you know. And, yeah, boy, I tell you what, tongue's like on fire. But, see, but Cornell says to me, he says, brother, brother, this is the king of the gypsies. I says, there's so many kings of the gypsies. I got to get back to Bucharest. Man, we got an 8-hour drive ahead of us. Should have been 12, but he was driving. Anyway, I mean, you might think you're a fast driver, but this boy, and a little 4-cylinder Dacia, you know, chucky. But anyway, he insisted, and because you know what? He's being moved by the Spirit of God.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.